performances. With Joseph Calleja as Edgardo, Stephen Gärtner as Enrico, and the chorus and orchestra of the Metropolitan Opera, they're all conducted by Patrick Summers, and that's live from the Met today at 5 o'clock. Well, the time now is 3 o'clock, time for World Roots. This week, musician and writer Banning Air heads off to the northwest of Argentina with the master accordionist Chango Spasiuk.
We've come to the airport in Buenos Aires early in the morning to meet Chango Spasiuk, the great accordion player, and he's going to take us up to Misiones, to where he comes from, and we're going to discover the music called Chamamé. Where are we going first, Chango?
Vamos a Posadas, que es la capital de Misiones.
We are going to Posadas, which is the capital city of Misiones province. We are going to travel about 50 kilometers from there to a town called Apóstoles, the place where I was born and where I lived until I was 20 years old. It is a region in Argentina like a wedge, inserted between the south of Brazil and Paraguay, where the soil is intensely red.
Oh yes, the infamous red earth. Well, let's go. I'm ready. I think we better get on the plane now. Yes.
Bueno, vámonos.
Yeah, vámonos. So we're driving into Apóstoles now, which is Chango's birthplace, where he lived for the first 20 years of his life. So Chango, this is where you were born, this is where you grew up, eh?
Here is where I was born and lived until I started to travel.
Esta es la carpintería de mi padre y de mi tío Marcos.
This is my father and Uncle Marcos' carpentry. Right there in front of the door, there was a huge tree when I was a kid. Every day at 1 or 2 p.m., before my uncle's work in the afternoon, I sat with him to play the accordion right here below the tree. Misiones has changed a lot since then, and the tree is no longer here, but the road is still a dirt road.
So just next door, Chango, this is the house where you were born, right?
Yes.
Tell us a bit about your parents. You were saying that they came as immigrants, or their parents came as immigrants?
Mis abuelos, grandfather.
Grandparents. Okay.
Grandparents is porque tanto Argentina como Estados Unidos a fines del 1800 fueron dos países.
Argentina and the United States in the late 1800s were pioneer countries in terms of immigration policies, and they were better known in Europe as destinations for immigrants escaping hunger and the war. So the idea was to bring farmers over, so it was not a land where people moved back and forth in a nomadic way. Since the Jesuits were kicked out up until the arrival of the immigrants, about 200 years, there was an unstable population here from Brazil and Paraguay. They came and they harvested the yerba mate, they chopped the trees, and then they moved on. When the immigrants came, they got their own land, and agriculture became organized.
Cuando vino el inmigrante tenían sus tierras y se organizó la agricultura en toda la región.
Your grandparents came here from Ukraine. They were fleeing war, bad situations there. Where else did immigrants come to Misiones during that time, the late 18th century?
Es muy interesante eso porque
that's very interesting because the incoming immigrants were farmers,
entonces,
so they were very festive people with a great ability to adapt. So when they
entonces,
built a church,
iglesia,
they drank a lot of alcohol and played a lot of music. And when they got married,
entonces,
they played music
casaban,
3 days in a row. They played polkas or schottisch and they sang their songs. But their children were more and more captivated by the chamamé that already existed and was waiting for them here. When the immigrants brought the accordion, the chamamé was finally defined.
Interesting. So farm people, agriculture people there, they know how to party.
Saben festejar, sí, totalmente, saben. Por eso el chamamé no es una música solamente alegre.
Absolutely. They know how to party. That's why chamamé is not only happy music, because it comes from a hard context. This is a beautiful place, but it's hard to live in. So this is a music that has both energies, a deep joy, but also a great yearning and melancholy. We are now in the north part of Argentina, where the chamamé is strong. If you continue going north, that strength starts to fade away. It's like a spiral. The center of that spiral is 300 kilometers from here, in Corrientes. But all this is the area of the chamamé, the sonic universe of chamamé.
Pero todo esto es el área del chamamé, el universo sonoro del chamamé.
So Changa, you're going to take us to meet a young local chamamé musician. Who are we going to meet?
Se llama Sergio Tarnowski.
His name is Sergio Tarnowski. His mother's last name is Creole, and his father's last name comes from Ukrainian immigrants. He plays a button accordion called verdulera. It has 21 buttons for the right hand and 8 buttons for the left hand. It is a diatonic accordion, and he plays in a very popular style of this region.
So we've come to the home of Sergio Tarnowski, accordionist, and his guitarist Roberto Rodriguez is here also, and we're in the back garden, and we're going to have a session. So now you're going to play us something quite different. This is a schottisch, which is, again, part of the Eastern European legacy here in Argentina.
El schottisch es una música que se toca mucho en el Brasil y que es muy conocida.
Schottisch is a music that's played a lot in Brazil and it's very well known in various European countries.
Como lo va a tocar Sergio.
In Argentina we played in the way Sergio is going to play now, with this particular sound.
Thank you. nombre del Shotish es por
the name of this Shotish is Por Siempre Apóstoles. Apóstoles Forever.
Fantastic, fantastic. That's just great. Let's hear a polka, a local polka, a polka rural. That's a polka from the countryside. Okay, a rural polka here in the garden in Apostolis with Sergio and Roberto and Chango joining in on accordion on that one. So we're going to finish off with another chamamé, a really strong one. Tell us, Chango.
El nombre del chamamé es del compositor que más tocamos, se tocó esta tarde.
This chamamé was composed by Luis Ángel Monzón. We are going to play a chamamé named Gobernador Virasoro. It is the name of a town very close to Apóstoles, which is where we are now.
Thank you. pulling out of Apostoles now after the session with Sergio Tarnowski and a fabulous meal cooked by his mother with cornmeal and empanadas and fried manioc, mandioca as they call it here, comida deliciosa. And it's the afternoon hour, and this is when they play chamamé on the radio, Chango tells us. It's a time when people are home from work for their siesta, and it's just the right moment to enjoy a little chamamé over your radio dial.
Este viernes 7 de mayo, cena show en la colectividad rusa del Parque de las Naciones.
As well as being the home of chamamé, Misiones is the home of yerba mate, which is almost like a national drink in Argentina. It's a strong herb tea, and it's only grown in this region, so this is its home. And Chango has stopped to get us some, so we're going to try it. It's this green, powdery...
Se empieza con agua tibia. Ahí.
Okay, so pouring warm water over...
Nice.
A lot of protocol. Okay.
Mm.
So you're supposed to take it all at once.
Y ahora el agua más caliente.
And now the water. Now more hot water.
Un poco más. Mmm. It's very nice.
Now you try. Okay, here I go.
Sin miedo.
Without fear. Okay, here we go. Without fear. Mmm. Oh, that's really strong and rich. Yeah, it's nice. I don't know if I got it all. I have to try one more time. Yeah. It's good. It is hot on the lips. So, it's a drink with a lot of protocol associated with it. You have to make it a certain way. You have to drink it a certain way. Basically, it's in a pretty small cup with a lot of this green powder yerba mate in it. You pour the hot water over it. You drink it with a metal straw that has a filter at the end of it so you don't get the powder and the leaves. And you're supposed to drink the entire shot, as it were, in one action. You just suck it all in. And the straw is metal. It gets quite hot, but as Chango says, you get used to it. It does wake you up, too. Next, we're heading to the town of Oberá. And Oberá is a Guarani word. Guarani is the name that applies to the indigenous people who were here before any Europeans. And they covered the area that is now parts of Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina. So this whole region is culturally united in a way that transcends national borders. Misiones, the province where we are now, Chango says this is the most ethnically diverse part of Argentina. So you have this underlying indigenous Guarani people, you have all these layers of immigration, the Jesuits were here for a long time, which is why it's called Misiones, because there were all these missions throughout this area. And chamamé is very much a product of all of that. It is, like the people, as they say, criollo, which means a mixture of European, indigenous, even some African elements in the music. Chango also said that a lot of people that you talk with will give you a particular version of the story of chamamé. Some will actually go so far as to say that it is Guarani music. And that's because there's a lot of Guarani language in the songs. But just because, as Chango put it, just because someone is a criollo who sings in Guarani doesn't mean that they are Guarani, and it certainly doesn't mean that chamamé is Guarani music. So you get a little bit of an idea of the complexity we're dealing with here. So now we're off to Oberá. We're actually going up into hill country, and there's thick rainforest all around us now. It's very green, very dense, jungly-looking land. And we're going to meet in Oberá with a singer and radio host named Lalo Doretto.
Lalo Doretto, Elvio Romero, y gran equipo de FM Litoral, junto a todos los músicos de la región.
Arrived at a quiet neighborhood of Oberá, down a red dirt street, and we're going to go in and meet Lalo and his musicians. Hola.
Hola. Buenas tardes, mucho gusto, bienvenido, gente de Inglaterra, bienvenido.
Quiero brindar mi canción a aquel pueblito donde nací. Recuerdo con gran cariño aquellos años que allí viví. Junto a mis padres y hermanos y a los amigos no olvidaré. Y a pesar de la distancia, con todo el alma les cantaré. La brisa de aquellos campos van perfumando mi vida y se agrandan los recuerdos, las gratas horas vividas. Volveré con mi guitarra y mi corazón latente para cantarle a mi padre y a toda su buena gente. Oh, Bonplan Misiones, lugar que yo nunca olvido. Soy un hijo agradecido que hoy te quiere cantar, recordándote con cariño mi bello pago natal. Quiero brindar mi canción a aquel pueblito donde nací. Recuerdo con gran cariño aquellos años que allí viví. Junto a mis padres y hermanos y a los amigos no olvidaré. Que a pesar de la distancia, con todo el alma les cantaré. La brisa de aquellos campos van perfumando mi vida y se agrandan los recuerdos, las gratas horas vividas. Volveré con mi guitarra y mi corazón latente para cantarle a mi padre y a toda su buena gente.
We were talking earlier about the mixed heritage of chamamé music, and now we're going to hear one of the genre's biggest hits, and they're going to sing it both in Spanish and in Guarani. This is Kilometer 11.
Merenda Peyuyehue, de nuevo implorar tu amor. Solo hay tristeza y dolor al hallarme Momburí. La culpa mantearé con de todo lo que he sufrido. Por eso es que ahora he venido a Canguete Aiko. Ani que enderezará que un día este cantor le has dicho llena de amor de regenda ay. Yendai cuajayangaite, si existe en tu pensamiento aquel puro sentimiento que me supiste te anin de posil angashendibei desengañoite manteareco che acatawi angai cuajandereje cuñase o peixaigo. Maní que enderezará que un día este canto me ha dicho llena de amor de regenda chenda y cuaja y angaite si existe en tu pensamiento aquel puro sentimiento erecoma sereque anin de pochu angachendive desengaño y te manteareco sea catahui angai cuajanereje cuñara seo paisaico anin de pochu angachendive desengaño y te manteareco sea catahui angai cuajanereje cuñara seo paisaico.
The sun's going down, the yerba mate is still being passed around, almost time to open the wine. I think we got time for one more. Lalo, what's it going to be?
Quiero agradecer a todos ustedes por haber venido, por habernos visitado.
I want to thank all of you for coming here to visit us and invite you to listen to this chamamé by Tarrago Ross. And so, here we go.
De esta manera.
Birds singing in the back garden of chamamé musician Lalo Doretto. Lalo was performing with Israel Machado on accordion and Lorenzo Gamon on guitar, especially for World Roots. These musicians are right at home in the town of Oberá, and having spent today in the province of Misiones, where Chango Spasiuk has been taking us to meet these local musicians, you really get a sense of where chamamé comes from. Lush scenery, red earth, oxen being driven along the side of the highway, fields of tobacco, tea, and yerba mate, not to mention everyone sipping from their mate cups, and most of all, the stories of Ukrainian and Polish immigrants playing polka and shotish and mixing with the indigenous Guarani people. There's no doubting that this music could only have been born here. A long way from the red earth and the mango groves of Misiones and Corrientes provinces, the birthplace of chamamé, but we've come to an iconic place in Argentine musical history. The Inconitani Accordion Factory here in Buenos Aires has been on this street for 92 years, and it is the first and still the only handmade accordion factory in Argentina. And I think inside we're going to meet a real master of chamamé accordion, Tilo Escobar.
El estilo.
Estilo encantado.
Tilo Escobar.
Y él es nazareno.
Mucho gusto.
Y él es nazareno con esta
mía. Wow, look at this. Accordions everywhere. They're in racks where they've been repaired. It's a tight packed room in here, just filled with accordions. Very nice. Muy bueno. Okay, here we go. We're now, Nazareno is going to take us upstairs to see where the accordions are made. So we're stepping back into the office here.
Puedo decir una cosa chiquita. Usted inglés.
Towers of accordions.
English. Mi hermano tenía un Alicaster.
My brother had an Alicaster during the war. Only people in the army or the police had something like that. I don't know how a person who worked with accordions brought such a thing here. It was something this big with a grill. It was a transmitter, hermano, a radio. Every day at 7 p.m., the BBC from London broadcasted a 440 Hz A. And my brother used to do this and said, we are okay. He always checked with the 440 Hz A. Now, I think, with such a distance, doesn't it distort? Does it come clean? How is that possible?
He used the BBC
broadcast of the A440 to tune the accordions, make sure that they were correctly in tune. Beautiful.
This is the BBC Home and Forces program. Here's the news.
Okay, here we go. Wow, this is a workshop. Incredible. It's clearly, you can just feel the history in here. Everything looks old, but amazingly well organized. Now we're looking at a glass case filled with all kinds of tacks and small nails that would be parts of the accordion. Okay, here's a workbench where you can see the pieces of an accordion are out there, and there's hammers and all sorts of tools, and man, this thing has definitely seen a lot of work. It's worn right through in places, and corners are rounded with all sorts of work that's been being done here. Now, Soriano, tell us the history of the company, briefly.
Bueno, mi papá vino de Europa en el 1900. Mi papá, aparte de trabajar con la firma Paolo Soprani, que es una firma muy grande, pues en poca palabra.
My father came from Europe in 1900. My father worked for the company Paolo Soprani. When he came to Argentina, it was written in his catalog, Juan Anconetani and Sons, the only factory in South America.
Entonces mi papá, ¿qué hizo? La guerra. Del año.
So what did my father do? The war came. What year was that? At that time I was 18 years old. I was born in 1921. During those 5.5 years of war, you didn't know anything about Europe. There were no phone calls, letters, anything. If you were here, you stayed here. My father was here. He stayed here. So what did he do? Before that, he brought the parts for assembly. But due to the lack of parts, because you didn't know anything about Europe, he started to make his own machines. With a Ford gearbox, he built a roller to flatten galvanized wire in order to make metal keys. He made lots of things. My father was brilliant. During the war, we got to make accordions for all the country. Spasiuk has a 60-year-old accordion. Maybe not that much. But 50 for sure. They were handmade accordions to last forever. We had Tarragorros, the well-known Barbosa, Chango Spasiuk, Ernesto Montiel, all of them great musicians. And there are others I don't remember now. So we got to make accordions from scratch, from the first little button to the last one. And the work was done by ourselves. Now, we don't manufacture anymore. We are not able to. We could have had work done by others, but my father was very severe. His stick in hand, we were beaten, I'm serious, because he hit like this and like this. You know, we could have had work done by others and then putting the name Anconetani on it. No way. Now we are repairing accordions with 1 and 2 years waiting. People trust us. But we always had a good and noble behavior.
El comportamiento nuestro fue siempre noble, bueno.
So we're stepping out onto the street now and going just a couple of doors down to the museum where I think Chango Spasiuk and Tilo Escobar are getting ready to play some music for us. Thank you. These are all compositions by Tilo that we're hearing here. This next chamamé imitates the sound of a male dancer, and it's a sweeping motion across the floor like a broom, like sweeping with a broom, and it's called Escobillando. Tilo, you bought your first Enconitani accordion 42 years ago. What's so special about these instruments?
In Enconitani, they have good seasoned woods, so the box, the body of the instrument, has a great tone. This is different from other accordions made in a hurry. This accordion is very different from others because it is a large accordion. That's why Enconitani accordions have a big sound. It's like with cars of prime brands. If you have an Anconetani accordion, you have a good accordion.
Tener una acordeón buena.
A Rolls Royce, maybe.
Sí, sí.
Chango told us that he learned chamamé in large part by listening to you. How did you learn?
I
listened to Ernesto Montiel. He was a unique musician. There were many others, but he was very creative and contributed to chamamé with a very beautiful accordion style.
Tilo, where did you grow up? Where did you learn this music?
I was born in the countryside, deep in the countryside of the Corrientes province. Palmar Grande. I am from Palmar Grande, a small village full of fruits, oranges, tangerines, grapefruits. It's like heaven.
I believe that. We visited Corrientes and we drove through some of those towns, and I know what you're talking about. There seems to be a connection between trees and this music. Chango learned under a tree, and you're talking about fruit trees.
Of course, at that time there was no electricity. We listened to a very big radio receiver with 6 batteries. If you could afford it, you had it at home. So we gathered there to listen to chamamé. Because there were few radio receivers in the countryside, we were poor, and there were very few accordions. Our grandparents had a little one. We listened to chamamé music under a tangerine tree at night below the lamplight. My grandfather played guitar. My father played violin. My brother played a little bit the accordion. But people were not generous. They didn't allow the children to play, because they said the music would make a slacker out of you. But out of curiosity, I started to learn. But they didn't want to give you the instrument.
So they said the chamamé musicians had no prospects in life, but here you are sitting here with an Anconetani accordion with your name on it, Tilo Escobar. Tilo, let's hear some more. What are you going to play for us now?
El tero.
There is a bird. It's called tero, a bad bird, the tero.
El tero. Thank you.
We spoke about the Eastern European immigrant experience in Argentina and this coming together of those cultures with indigenous cultures, and that's all the ingredients that go into the making of chamamé. But musically, what is it really about? Describe chamamé musically for us, Chango.
Esa es la gran cuestión de que justamente el chamamé es una música de la cual es muy poco.
This is a big issue. Chamamé is a music that is very difficult to describe with words. Above all, it is a feeling. It's something you feel. It's something you taste and you learn how to play in that way, not talking about it. That's the only way to learn how to play it. Instead of transferring the notes and buttons to hit, you express a whole language related to the world of emotions. It is often said that chamamé is like a snake that tangles around the feet of the dancer and then bites and injects its venom. From that moment on, you don't dance or play, you only pray.
We can feel that. You can feel in the music that there's something absolutely unique that's a very, very distinctive sound. There is a rhythm, though, isn't there? Can we identify a rhythm as the chamamé rhythm? Can you demonstrate that to sort of help listeners to tease out the fundamental rhythms of chamamé?
Sí, el ritmo es una suma.
Yes, it is a rhythm where you have a 6/8 and a 3/4 together. At certain moments, the melody is in 6/8, and at certain moments, it's in 3/4. At certain moments, the right hand in the accordion plays in 6/8 and the left hand in 3/4. It is often considered a polyrhythm, but when you play, you never think about playing in 6 or 3. It's like riding a bicycle.
Solamente estás como si anduvieras en bicicleta.
Polyrhythm. You just have to feel it. I understand. Can you show us just by clapping a little bit, though, what those different rhythmic pieces are?
Claro, of course. For instance, a three would be...
Un, dos, tres, un, dos, tres, un, dos, tres, un, dos, tres, un, dos.
And the six would be... You know what I mean. Sometimes it is... Sometimes it's six, sometimes it's three, and sometimes it's a three inside the six.
That's amazing. I mean, it reminds me of African music. Is that possible?
Tiene algo de música africana...
It has something from African music, but rhythmically, the whole sonic language is the history of centuries in the northeast of
Argentina.
For instance, the right hand.
La mano izquierda.
The left hand. Both together.
Es una música para no pensar.
It is a music where you must not think.
If you think too much, you can't play it, right?
Exactamente. Para pensar, no se puede tocar pensando.
Exactly. You can't play by thinking. You can play by playing.
Jugando no como algo.
I say playing, not in a superficial way, but in the sense of not intellectualizing too much.
Intellectualizando mucho.
With that sense of discovery and just feeling it and finding it on your own. That's beautiful.
Exactamente. Y por ejemplo.
For example, Tilo is a person who doesn't talk too much, but you can learn a lot playing in front of him. And you learn precisely because that learning is not something you talk about. It's something that you pick up by watching, playing together, or even talking about something else.
So, Chango, this is the kind of stuff you were practicing when you were sitting under the tree where you showed us in Apostoles.
Exactamente, a las 2 de la tarde con 45 grados.
At 2 p.m. during the siesta at 45 degrees hot.
De calor.
Well, let's hear you guys playing together now. A song by Ernesto Montiel, and we understand that Enconetani accordions made 7 accordions for Ernesto Montiel. We're here in the Museum of the Argentine Accordion, just a few doors down from the factory where Enconetani accordions have been built for all these years. And we're with two of the great masters, Chango Spasiuk and Tilo Escobar. And looking on is Nazareno Enconetani, who has just told us that this is the duo when it comes to chamamé accordion. So what are you guys going to send us off with? One more.
La Ratonera. His name.
So this is the mouse hole, the home of mice.
World Roots was presented by Banning Air and produced by Peter Meanwell. And all the music in that programme was recorded on location in Argentina. Photos and more details can be found online on the World Music pages of the Radio 3 website. Next week on World Roots, Lucy Duran's joined by the World Roots Academy mentee, Harry Sivanesan, to unpick the roots of South Indian classical music.
If you go down to the Radio Theatre today, well, Friday the 25th of March, you're sure of a big surprise. Well, not really, because I'm telling you about it. Because every writer that ever there was, well, the singer-songwriter PJ Harvey, the novelist Hanif Qureshi, and the performer Selena Godden, will gather there together because Friday the 25th of March is the day the Verb has its live show picnic. The Verb, Friday at 9:15 on Radio 3.
Well, looking ahead an hour, we'll be going live to the Metropolitan Opera in New York for a performance of Donizetti's Lucia de Lammermoor. That means that jazz record requests for this week will be at 9:30 this evening. Well, it's 4 o'clock now, time on BBC Radio 3 for Jazz Library with Alan Shipton.
On Tuesday, March the 15th, 2011, the record producer George Ivakian celebrated his 92nd birthday. He's undoubtedly one of the most remarkable and influential producers in jazz, and the collaboration we've just heard of Miles Davis and Gil Evans was one of his most celebrated 1950s projects. But his interests during the 25 years George spent as a full-time producer in the 40s, 50s and 60s range across the entire history of jazz at that time. For this edition of Jazz Library, I met George at his home near New York to look back over his many achievements, which began when he was still a student at Yale.
Toward the end of my sophomore year, I got the idea that since Decca Records was starting to put out six pocket 78 RPM albums of reissues in which all the single sides that were collected formed a particular idea, what we now call a concept album, such as Bing Crosby, having made a movie about Hawaii, would suddenly find himself released on Decca with 12 Hawaiian songs. So I thought, gee, why not do this with new recordings of the pioneers of jazz broken down into Chicago, New Orleans, and Kansas City. And I mentioned Chicago first because that was the easy one to do, and I proposed this to Decca Records. Decca sent me back a penny postcard that shows how Decca thought about expense those days, and it was reflected in my salary for doing the job, which is why I didn't continue. I got paid finally $75 for doing the Chicago Jazz album, taking a trip to Chicago, and writing a booklet which hadn't been done except for opera and symphonic recordings, with the exception of the Big Spiderbeck Memorial album.
George, who were the key people on that Chicago set?
Oh, well, it was built around the group that played at Nick's downtown in Greenwich Village. The Chicagoans had migrated to New York around 1929 plus, or 28 actually, and they stayed there. So Eddie Condon was the leader of the band there, and we got very friendly. And when I made this proposal, it was easy to use most of the band that was down there. They had Dave Tough, Bud Freeman, Pee Wee Russell, Joe Sullivan. Well, it was a perfect setup, of course. And really, I have to say, it was inspired by and yet different from the recordings that Milt Gabler made for Commodore. When I heard those, I was so pleased, but I thought to myself, gee, why don't they play the way they did 10 years earlier? Because that was, let's say, 1938 at the time. Yep, 10 years earlier was the Chicago Rhythm Kings and all that. And so when I made this proposal to Decca and they accepted it, and then Eddie said, okay, let's go. I said, look, one of the things I want to do is put in the old Chicago flares. Everybody jump in the last two bars of a chorus and give a springboard to the next soloist, or a big roar into the last chorus and then drop down the middle eight and all that sort of thing. So they were delighted to do it. We'll be right back.
Teddy Condon's Chicagoans in August 1939. It's one of the four tracks George Avakian first recorded, and it's to be found on the Decca GRP album Eddie Condon Dixieland All-Stars. This was just the beginning of George's Chicago project.
The second group was Boyce Brown, Bud Jacobson, under Jimmy McPartland's leadership, and Floyd Bean, who was with Jimmy at the time, and one of the rare old-timers, Jim Lanigan, who was the bass player of the original Austin High School Kids group, you know, the Chicago Rhythm Kings, Mackenzie Conn and Chicagoans, and Jim had gone straight, and he was playing with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He was delighted to play jazz again.
The hardest to find of George Avakian's Chicago sessions, China Boy by Jimmy McPartland's band, but it's recently out on CD and available for download on an album called Pure Gold, The Greatest Dixieland Jazz. Full details on the Jazz Library website, that's bbc.co.uk/radio3/jazzlibrary.